beginning of the daf Masech Tzivam is daf Yadal. We begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had introduced a different discussion related to the topic of our Mishnah from a Mishnah Masech Tzim Megillah. Shlakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, how do we understand halacha of Kriyas Megillah? The people in the Kfarim read it on the 11th or 12th or 13th of Adar. The people in the Ayaris Gedolos on the 14th of Adar. People in the walled cities read it on the 15th of Adar. That seems to be a violation of Leitis Gedidu, of that you shouldn't make the halachas of the Torah like Agudas, Agudas. One place has one Torah, another place has another Torah. That seems to be a problem. Rosh Yechon responded, saying, what's the problem? We find this halacha in other places. Rosh Lakish asked, where do we find that? So one of the places was, Rabbi Yechonah mentioned, in our Mishnah, we find that Beishamai says that the Tzaras Erva are permitted, and Beisil said that Tzaras Erva are forbidden in Yibim. And therefore, as we've said in our Mishnah, there's going to be huge halachic ramifications. And therefore we find, as the Gemara had pointed out, that the opinion of Rabbi Yechonah is like Shmuel, that Beishamai asu like their opinion is, and Beisil asu they did like their opinion is. And therefore, of course, that's going to be a problem of, according to you, Rosh Lakish, of like this guy doing it, we see that's not a problem. And whereas Rosh Lakish said that, no, from our Mishnah is not a raya, because Bishamai, although they expressed a different opinion regarding the Tzaras Erva, did not follow their opinion. They only followed like Beis Hillel's opinion, and therefore Rosh Lakish said, I only asked from that Mishnah, Masechet Megillah, because there we find everyone doing different halachas. But over here, we don't find that because Bishamai actually didn't follow their own opinion, and that's why I didn't ask, or there's no proof from our Mishnah. Now, and that's where our Gemara continues on this daf by asking Amos. Exactly regarding this machlekes that we have between Rosh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, between Rabbi and Shmuel, if Beis Shammai did their own opinion or did not do, when exactly are we talking about? As the Gemara explains, Ilim Akoidim Baskel, if we're talking about before the heavenly voice came out, as the Gemara in Ervin on Daf Yud Gimel Beis records that there was a heavenly voice that came out from heaven and said the halacha falls like Beis Hillel with their arguments with Beis Shammai. So if it's talking about where we have a machlekes now, did Beis Shammai do like Beis Hillel or did they do like themselves? If it was before the Beis Shammai came out, so my time at the Mount Dama Layasu, how would be the understanding of Rish Lakish who, and Rav, who says that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion, and therefore you can't bring a raya from our Mishnah towards the question of like, does Gaida do, because they only followed Beis Hillel's opinion, but why? Why would they follow Beis Hillel's opinion? When you have your own opinion, halacha, that your Rav is Shammai, so you follow him. Why would they do like Beis Hillel? And if it's talking about after the heavenly voice came out, so then my time of the mandama also. So how do we understand Rabbi Yechon and Shmuel who say that no, Beis Shammai did their own thing, and therefore there was like two different Torahs almost. But why would they do their own thing if the heavenly voice came out from Shemaim and said the halacha falls like Beis Hillel, and therefore Beis Shammai should not do like Beis Shammai? So I think my answer is either way we can answer. Either we can say that Tumah it was before the heavenly voice came out, or could even say it's Tumah after the heavenly voice came out. As the Gemara explains, if you want, you could say it was talking about before the heavenly voice came out. And it's talking about that there was a majority of Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai that was the minority. So therefore, according to the opinion of Rish Lakish, who says that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion, that makes sense, because even though it was before the heavenly voice, we always go after the majority, and the camp of Hillel was the majority. Whereas Amanda Ma'asu, according to the opinion of, let's say, Rabbi Yechon, who says that they did follow their own opinion, is because Kiaz Lina Basaruba, when is it that we follow the majority? That's Heichad Dechihad Dadininu. That's when both opinions, both camps, are equal in wisdom. And then we say, so if they're equal, so we go after the majority. But here Beis Shammai was sharper than the camps of Hillel. And that's why we follow like Beis Shammai, they follow their own opinion, even though they were the minority. Or the Gemara says, if you want, you could say, it's talking about L'Acher Baskel. This machlek is Rabbi Yechon and Shlakish in our Mishnah, if they did their own opinion or not, was even talking about after the heavenly voice came out. Manda Malayas, according to Rish Lakish, says that of course Beis Shammai didn't follow their own opinion, is the Nafka Basko, because the heavenly voice came out. You have to follow what was dictated by heaven that you should follow like Beis Hillel. Manda Ma'asu, but according to Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel, who says no, that Beis Shammai still followed their own opinion, is because Rabbi Yeshua, that is, they hold that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua, who's recorded in Perek Hazav, Mesechtes B'Metzia, Dama, that he says, Emashkechem Abasko, we do not pay attention, we do not take heed from a heavenly voice, because the halacha doesn't follow what it says in Shemaim, it says Leiba Shemaimi, we only follow what's over here, and therefore we make it as if it didn't happen, and we therefore, Beis Shammai could follow their own opinion. So that's the understanding of what the context is in their machlokes of Bishamay filed the own opinion or not. But now the Gemara returns to the discussion from the previous daf to conclude the question, which was brought up by Rish Lakish, which is a question now according to the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. Umandama also, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Bishamay did follow their own opinion, and therefore they're telling Rish Lakish, why asking just from the Mishnah Masechet Megillah? Look at our Mishnah over here. We see that there's the same thing. It seems like two different Torahs. They let Tzara Serva, they don't let Tzara Serva. So the Gemara asks, according to their opinion, so Karina and Kan, Loitas Gaidu. So then you do run into the same question Rish Lakish is bringing up. It's a problem of Loitas Gaidu, which is Loitas Agudas Agudas. You can't make the Torah into camps. It's going to seem like two totally different Torahs. What's the halacha? Is a Tzaras ever permitted or not? Oh, they allow it, they don't allow it, they do this, they do that. That's a problem of making the Torah into two different camps. So Abaya answers the whole discussion that we had up until now of Loitas Gaidu. He qualifies the halacha. He says, Kiyamin Loitas Gaidu, when do we say that there's a problem about one sect of the Jewish people doing one thing and another one doing another thing? If you have two judicial courts in the same city, and halalu marim kedivri b'shamay, one court is saying like b'shamay, halalu marim kedivri b'sil, the other bezdin in the same city saying like b'sil, that's a problem like this. Going to one city, you're having one bezdin say one way and one bezdin say another way. But two different courts in two different cities, that's not a problem. That doesn't make the turn into two different court, into two different tyres. They have their opinion. They have their opinion. And since that's one city and that's another city, that will not be a problem of like this Gaidu. And that definitely answers the question that Rish Lakish had brought up from Megillah, where you have the Krachim as one city, Kfarim as another city, Ayeres Gadol as another city. But Amalei Rava asked in Abai's interpretation. He says, what do you mean? Even if you're going to say that it's dependent on two different cities, but it doesn't answer the question we're asking in our Mishnah. Beshamay Sil is all for the Jewish people. There were those that did like Beshamay, those that did like Beshamay. And it's so pervasive, it's like it's two courts in the same city. And if that's the case, so how is it allowed that if according to the opinion, let's say Rabbi Yechon, that says, also they filed their own opinion, that would be a problem even according to your interpretation of Baya, of Loitas Gaidu. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, he gives a different interpretation, a narrower definition of this Isser. He says, Kiyamin Loitas Gaidu, when do we say that there's a violation of making different agudais? Is Kagin Bezdin Be'ir Achas, one Bezdin in the same city. Plagmar and Gedivir Beishamay, half the Bezdin says like Beishamay, Uplagmar and Gedivir Beisil, and when the other half of the Bezdin, when people come to ask them a Shaila, they say like Beisil, that is a violation of Loitas Gaidu. Even though it's the same city, but it's two different courts, that would not be a violation of Loitas Gaidu, and therefore the Halacha and our Mishnah, that Beishamay did like their own and Beisil did like their own, that's not a problem, because even though it's like in the same city, however, they're two different, but they didn't, they're two different courts. I think Marz says, Toshima, come in here regarding this Isra of Loitas Gaidu, the way we're qualifying it. It says as follows that Bimkaimishal Rebbe Eliezer, in the location, in the place of Rebbe Eliezer, Hayakursim Eitzim, they would chop down wood, Lasis Pachaman to make coal out of that, Bishabbas on Shabbos, meaning for that day. Why would they make coals for Shabbos? I mean, they would be chopping down wood on Shabbos to make coals on Shabbos, Lasis Barzel to make iron, and that's because they would need the metal for Mila to create a knife to do the circumcision, where Rebbe Eliezer's opinion is that Hechsher Mitzvah, a preparatory act for a mitzvah, not even the actual circumcision, which is allowed on Shabbos, just preparing the knife, which requires coal, which requires wood to make the coal, so you're allowed to go ahead and chop down the tree to make the coal, to make the knife, to do the circumcision, is the Hechsher like the mitzvah itself. So that's what they did in his location. And another example has been Mekamesh Rabbi Yosef Galili, in the location of Rabbi Yosef Galili, they would eat chicken and milk, where, although we don't, but he expounded the words in the Pasuk that says the prohibition of meat and milk. It says, you should not cook a kid in the milk of its mother. Now, what that means is that it has to be something that has its mother's milk, which that excludes chicken, which they don't have milk. It's only an animal. As the Gemara explains in Masechtas Chulin. And therefore, he allowed chicken and milk. Now, the inference that the Gemara makes to ask the question is, sounds like B'mkaimish Rebbe Eliezer in. Sounds like only in Rebbe Eliezer's hometown did they go ahead and chop down the wood to make the coals, to make the knife, to do the circumcision. But B'mkaimish Rebbe Kiva, his dispute in Rebbe Kiva, it sounds like they're loy, that they didn't do that. to 10, like within the Braisa, that Reb Akiva argues in this halacha, and he says, Klalim Reb Akiva. Reb Akiva says a general rule regarding circumcision and the prohibitions of Shabbos. He says, Kol melacha she'esh la'asoyse me'erev Shabbos, any melacha that you could have done from before Shabbos, which is making the knife, the circumcision has to be on the eighth day, that has to be on Shabbos. But to chop down the wood, to make the coal, to make the knife, should have been done from before Shabbos, ain't a deches Shabbos. That's not deches Shabbos. So it sounds like that in his location was not like in the location of Eliezer, and they didn't do that. Well, that seems to be a problem of like this guy do. One place they're doing this, one place they're doing that. So the Gemara responds, what type of question is that? We already gave this answer. We said that even according to Abaya, they gave a looser interpretation, says that if it's two different places, it's no problem about like this guy do. So the Gemara asks, with the Karila, and the one who had asked the question, my Karila, what exactly was bothering him? This was the teretz we just gave in the Gemara, that's not a violation of Leit Eskeidu. So the Gemara says that, no, Sagadah de Chamina, the reason the questioner was asking his question was because we would have thought to say, Mishum Chumra de Shabbos Kamokam Echadami. Because Shabbos is such a stringent Isser, we would consider two different locations in Halacha as if it was one location. And therefore, that would be a contradiction of Abaye's interpretation, who said that if it's in one city, then even if it's, let's say, two different Bat Edin, then it would be Aser. Kamash Malan, that's what the Gemara was answering by saying that no, that even though it's Shabbos, since it's two different locations, it's no violation of the Issa of Leit Eskeidu. So the Gemara says, Toshma, come in here, arrive from somewhere else. Because the Rebbe Vo, Ki Ikla La Aser de Bishub Ben Levi, when Rebbe Vo would go to the hometown of Rebbe Shub Ben Levi, to his place, have Metalta Shraga, then he would carry a lamp, and that is, if someone has a candelabra, a lamp that had been lit on Shabbos, but then it was extinguished. Now, then he would go ahead, once it was extinguished, and he would move that lamp. Now, that's because Rabbi Shua held like Rabbi Shimon, that what's called, he doesn't hold of muktzah, meaning he has a very narrow interpretation of that prohibition. And therefore, once it's extinguished, then there's no problem of muktzah. When it's lit, it's something else. When it's extinguished, so he would move it. Yet, when he would go to the hometown of Rabbi Yechanan, Loya Metal Toshraga, then he would not move even an extinguished lamp. And that's because Rabbi Yechanan, he held like Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that there is a problem of Muktzah with that, even if it's not the Isra of being lit right now. But even though it was extinguished, it'd still be a violation. Now, the problem the Gemara has with this is that it seems like two different Tyrus. In one place, they would carry an extinguished lamp. Another place, they wouldn't. The Gemara again asks, what type of question is that? Didn't we already say that two different places, not a problem? Rabbi Shua's place, they did move. Rabbi Yechon's place, they didn't move. So the Gemara says, no, we're asking a different question, unrelated to the discussion we're saying over here. How did he do that? Intrinsically, he's like two different tires. When he went to his place, he would carry. When he went to his place, he wouldn't carry. What's going on? What's the halacha? I think it's not a difficulty. Rebbe Vo, Rebbe Shub Ben Levi, really. Actually, Rebbe Vo held like the more lenient interpretation of Rebbe Shub Ben Levi, which was like Rebbe Shimon, that you're allowed to move. It's not a problem of muktzah, an extinguished lamp. But when he went to the location of Rebbe Yechanan, he wouldn't move it over there, Mishum Kavod Rebbe Yechanan, out of respect for Rebbe Yechanan, who he was the Mar D'Asra. His opinion was that you're not allowed to move it, so for that reason he wouldn't move it, but he himself held you could, and that's why, by Rebbe Shua's place, he would move it. But then the Gemara asks a technical, practical question. But if Ikar Shamo, if that's the case, but Rebbe Vo was attendant, who he wouldn't realize the cheshbonis that his Rebbe Vo was doing, and he would then still move the lamp, even in the location of Rabbi Yechanan, because he sees Rebbe Vo generally moves it at home or in his Rebbe Shua's place. So what would we do with the attendant? I think the Gemara says it's not a problem. The Moedele Shama, he would tell his attendant that don't move it. Not, again, because of the Gemara's answer that really he held you're allowed to, so the Gemara had a problem. What are you going to do with his attendant? He says, no problem. When he would go to the place of Rabbi Yechanan, it wasn't because he held that it's Aser, because we see that it's Mutter. It's just out of respect. So he would tell his attendant, be careful. We don't want to light, we don't want to move even extinguished lamp, because Rabbi Yechanan is the Mar D'Asra, and that's out of that respect they wouldn't move it. The Gemara continues, Tashima. The Gemara tries to bring a raya from our Mishnah regarding this question, if Beis Shammai did like their opinion or not, which was this machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, between Birchon and Shlokish, which reflected regarding the question about making agudas or gudais. So that the Gemara says that let's bring a raya from our Mishnah if Beis Shammai followed their opinion or not. Because our Mishnah tells us that afa pisha elu oisim beilu matirim, even though they held that it's forbidden, they held that it's permitted regarding this question about Tzaras Erva, which Beis Hill said that, you know, I'll do yibta Tzaras Erva, and to the contrary, they're permitted to go ahead to someone in the street, And Bishami says that no, they're forbidden to someone in the street. They're mutter for the halacha of Yibum. Still, le'nimnu Bishami milisa noshim bisil. Still, even though they had this very different views regarding the halacha of the Torah's erva, Bishami would still not withhold from marrying the women of Bishil. Bishami still would not withhold from marrying the women of Bishami. Now, the Gemara concludes the proof. If you say that Bishami did not follow their own opinion, like Rish Lakish and Rav said, that would make sense why Bishami and Bishil did not withhold from marrying each other's families, because they all followed the same Pesach Halacha. There was no confusion. Everyone followed like Bishil. But if you say Bishami followed their own opinion, then why was there no withholding from the two camps from intermarrying their women? As the Gemara explains, we understand that still the Bishami would not withhold from marrying the women of Bishilim, because at most, even though they have two different shitas and they follow different halachas regarding the Tzara's Erva, the Bnei Chayv Lavaninu, the most is going to be, according to Bishami, the women of Bishilim's camp, are going to be women that have violated a negative prohibition. Because according to Bishilim, they said that the Tzara's Erva are totally exempt from Yibum Chalitza, and that they could go marry a foreign man unrelated to his brothers, to this family, without having Chalitza done. Now, even according to Bishami, who say that you require Chalitza because she's not exempt, as we explained in the previous daf, but that is, at most, if they do go ahead and marry someone else without Chalitza, it's just a negative prohibition, which is the pasuk of Leisi Eishas Ameis Hachutel Izar. Now, a halacha of a mamzer, which is an illegitimate child, is only a problem if that union was a chiv, a krisis. That if one has that union, you'll get a punishment of karis, as the Gemara says later on, Perek HaChayel, Tznaf Mem Tessam and Aleph. Where here, the child is still going to be a kosher child, because at most it was a negative prohibition in the marriage of this man without having chalitza done. So, okay, it's not a problem for Bishamai to marry the women, or to marry their children, because the children are going to be kosher. El Bishil may be Shammai, but this that you're saying that Bishil did not withhold from marrying the women, the family of Bishamai, Samai Leinimnu, why didn't they withhold? According to Bishil, since they hold that the tzaras, let's say, of the ervis that we mentioned, let's say the tzara of one's daughter, is going to be exempt, so then if the brother still goes ahead and does yibum to the tzara, he's marrying an Isser Eishes Ach, according to Bishil, which is a violation of Karis. Makes the children mamzerim, illegitimate children. So how could Bishil go ahead and marry from Bishamai if you say Bishamai followed their own opinion, which means to say that those unions that they were doing Yibum in spite of Bishil's opinion of the Tzara's Erva, because Bishamai held that that was permitted, according to Bishil, that's Isser Karis, making the children mamzerim. So how could Bishil marry into their family if Bishamai did their own opinion? You can't. They're going to be mamzerim. Obviously, Bishami did not follow their own opinion, which is the way Rish Lakish had said and the way Rav said. Now, the Gemara says, if you're going to say b'chi temuk sari Bishil de'im mamzim b'chi v'krisis, maybe you're going to say that no, it's not a raya, because Bishil hold that actually illegitimate children are not even from a union that has a punishment of karas. It's actually only from a union that you get misa in bezin, that the courts kill you. For example, one's mother, one's mother-in-law, one's daughter-in-law, and those types of things, they all get a violation of is a misa in Bezdin, whereas the Tzara's Erva is at most an Isser Eishes Achiv, where what we're saying, it's because it's not B'maka Mitzvah, so that removes the Heter of Yibam, so you retain the old original Isser Eishes Ach, where there's no misa in Bezdin, there's only Karis. And if it's only Karis, oh, okay, so that's why Bishil did not withhold from marrying the women of Bishami, because even though those unions, according to Bishil, is a chiv karas, but it's okay because their children are not going to be mazerim. They're not going to be illegitimate children because that will only be from a chiv mises bezin, which is not the case by tzara's erva. If you're going to say that, the Gemara said you can't say that because of Amr Belazer, he says, Afa pisha nechelkuk b'shami b'sil b'tzaras. He says, although b'shami b'sil argue regarding the halacha of tzaras, if a tzara's erva is going to be mutter or asur in yibam, yet in spite of that, as the Gemara will explain this statement on Amad Beis, still they would marry within each other. But Moedim, they agree, and the Gemara on Amad Beis will explain who is agreeing to who, She'ei Mamzer, but that however that the halacha of Mamzer, an illegitimate child, is Ela Memishi Yisuri Iser Erva V'Anash Karas, will not be from anything lower like a Chiv Lav. It will only be from a union with a Erva, that the punishment is Karas. Ela Lav Shmami No Loyasu. So you see that you cannot give the answer of that, oh, it wouldn't be a mamzer, according to Bishil, if Bishami did their own opinion, because it's only a chiv karas, but we see it's not true. Rabbi Elazar says that they both agree that a mamzer would be a child of a union of a chi of karas. So then you're back to the question, like the Gemara said, Lavash Mamino Loi, also you have to say that obviously Bishamah did not follow their own opinion. Because if not, if they did follow their own opinion, then how could it be that Basil would not withhold from marrying their children if they would be marrying Mamzerim according to their own opinion? I think Gemara says Loi. It's not a raya that Loi Asu. Maybe Bishamah did their own opinion. And as the Gemara says, Loi Lamasu. But the Moidilahu. Bishamah notified Basil, you should just know, this family of our camp was actually from a union of Tsaris Erva that went and did Yibum, and therefore Parashi, and they still will know, okay, this family, we're not going to marry. But however, it's not that they would marry anyone indiscriminately. They would discriminate and say, and Beishami would notify them because they understood they would marry each other. However, but since they filed their own opinion, and according to their opinion, their halacha, that they were mamzerim, they would notify them, and therefore that wasn't a problem, even though they did their own opinion. As the Gemara says, actually, it makes sense to say this is the interpretation. Because the Ketanei Sefer learned at the end of our Mishnah, said that Kol HaTaharis V'Chol Tameis, similarly regarding all the Tahiris and the things that are Tamei, Shehoye Eilu Metarin Ve'Eilu Metamin, they said it's Tar, they said it's Tamei, which they have different halachas in their Tahara of their Kelim, still Lein Nimnu Eisim Taharis Eilu Gavei Eilu. We said, but still, the camps of Bisham Bisil would still lend their vessels, their utensils, one to the other, even though Bisil is more Machmer, by Taharis more than the camp of Bishamit. Now, as the Gemara continues to Amid Beis and says, if you're going to say, like we're answering right now, that is not a right that Loi Asu, maybe Bishamit followed their own opinion, but it's just that they notify Bishil. So then, that makes sense why they wouldn't withhold from each other from borrowing from the other one, because they would notify which one, okay, you can't borrow this vessel of mine because according to your opinion, that's Tummy. But if you hold like the Gemara had asked in its question, that they wouldn't notify. It's just that the reason why they followed, that they were allowed to intermarry, was because Bishamah didn't follow their own opinion. Well, then Bishleimah Beisil, maybe Siloy Nimnu. But if they didn't notify, so then it makes sense regarding the borrowing of the utensils that Bishamah did not withhold from borrowing from Beisil, because the Tmeis to Beisil leBishamah Tahiris Ninu. Bishamah is the more lenient in this halacha, and therefore, whatever Bishamah is going to be borrowing from Beis Hill, they know for sure it's going to be tahar. Because even the things that Beis Hill hold are tamei, which they're not going to lend to anyone because it's tamei, even those, there are those that Bishamah hold that are going to be tahar. But el Beis Hill, mi Bishamah lo maloi nimnu, but why would it be that if they didn't notify them, why would it be that Beis Hill would not withhold from borrowing from Bishamah? What do you mean? Taharis to Bishamah, there are things that Bishamah says that are tahar, that le Beis Hill mitamis ninu, that according to Beis Hill, they're considered tamis, so why would they just borrow indiscriminately from Bishamah? Obviously, then it's like how we answered, that it could be that Bishamah did follow their own opinion. However, they would notify Beis Hill regarding what would be a problem for them, and that's why the same thing applied not only by the Kalim, where obviously they notified them, but also by the Tzara's Erva, they said, okay, these children you cannot marry because according to your opinion, they're mamzer. The Gemara asked, but umay umida hach mehach. What exactly is better that you find by the case of the Kalim, by Tahiris, than you find by the case of Tzara's Erva that you're saying, oh, hochinam mistabi, oh, it makes sense that they notified them. What would be better one than the other? Both of them obviously have to be dependent on the same svara. That either because Bishamah did not do their own thing, and therefore, of course, Bishamah could always borrow their kalim or marry their women, or that they did their own thing, but they notified them, and that's why they could borrow the kalim and marry from their families. Why is it Hachanam Mesav? Oh, it makes more sense by there that they notified them. Well, how do you see that better? I think Gemara says no, because Mao did Tamer Tzara Kala Islam. Maybe the truth is that maybe Bishamah did not notify Bishamah. But how would it be that then Beis Hill was permitted by the women of Beis Shammai? That's because maybe without notification they knew which families were good for them, which ones not, because there's noise, there's this publicity when there's a family of Tzaris Erva, because that was a hotly disputed topic, and that's how Beis Hill knew which family and which one not, but not because it was notified to them directly by Beis Shammai, Kamash Mulan, that's why we learned the case of Kalim, which is not so kol, it's not so obvious which utensil is tar and which one's tameh, and still Basil bars from Beis Shammai must be that they notified them. That's the Hachanim Mestaber, that's exactly what happened by the Tzaras Erva, that it's not that they heard about it, but rather that Beis Shammai notified them, and that's why it's not a raya that Beis Shammai were loyos, so that they didn't follow their own opinion. Maybe they did, but they still notified Basil before him. Now the Gemara says, Gufa, we quoted on Amid Aleph, this statement in the discussion, we said, Amr Belazar, says, Ava Pishanechku Bisham Bisil Betzaris, even though they argue regarding the halacha of Betzaris Erva, but Maidim She'in Mamzer, but they agree that there is no halacha of an illegitimate child, Elememishi Suri Isser Erva, Vanishkar is only from a union that one person is marrying an Erva, and if one went ahead with that Erva, there would be a punishment of Karas. So the Gemara asks, Man Maidim, exactly who's agreeing to who? As the Gemara explains, Ilema Beis Shammai LeBeisil. If you say that Beis Shammai is agreeing to Beis Hill, and now this is in the context of the previous part of his sentence, where he says, even though they argue regarding the halacha of Tzara, which is the halacha according to Beis, the women of Beis Hill, according to Beis Shammai, that's a problem of a Yavama going to the Shuk, because according to Beis Shammai, a Tzara's Erva is permitted in the halacha of Yibam, and therefore obligated in the halacha of Yibam, and therefore Beis Hillel's women are violating a problem of Yavama L'shuk. But on that is what you would say that, however, Beis Shammai agree, however, that those children will not be a mamzerim. Well, that's pshita, that's pretty obvious. Because B'nei Chiyav Lavin, K'shem Nino, of course, that union of a tzaris erva, that will, according to Beis Hillel, that will just go ahead immediately and marry someone else from the street, because Beis Hillel do not require neither chalitza nor yibum, that you're saying that still, even though they argue regarding Tzaras Erva, Beis Shammai would agree that the children will not be mamzerim. Well, of course, because, as we said, that's just a negative prohibition where the children are not mamzerim. So there would be no necessity for Belazar to say that even though they argue that Beis Shammai agreed to Beis Hillel. Ella, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. So what are you going to say? That even though they're arguing regarding Tzaras Erva, they have differing opinions. However, Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai that it's not going to be a problem because the children that become mamzerim are only from a union that's chiyav krisus. But the Gemara asks, he gufa chiyav krisus. What do you mean? According to Beis Hillel, what Beis Shammai does with the Tzaras Erva is a chiyav karas, because according to Beis Shammai, those Tzaras Erva have yibum with the brother. Now, according to Beis Hillel, that's an iser eshes ach that has karas. So the sentence wouldn't make sense. According to Beis Shammai, it's too obvious. And according to Beis Hillel, it wouldn't make sense. According to Beis Shammai, of course the children of the other camps, Tzaras Erva, would be kosher children because it's just a chiyav lav. And Beis Hillel, looking at Beis Shammai, would not agree because that would be a problem, because that's exactly a case of chiyav krisus where the child would be a mamzer. So what's it mean, even though they argue? What do you mean? Because they argue, then it's going to be. So the Gemara says, L'oilam Beis Shammai L'Beis Hillel. Truthfully, Rabbi Elazar was saying that even though they argue, but Beis Shammai agreed to the women of Beis Hillel that it's not going to be a problem for them to marry from them because children are mamzerim only from chiyav krisus. And in this case, it's only chiyav lav. But the Gemara had asked, well, of course, chiyav lav, of course there's no problem. There's not going to be mamzerim from that anyway. And the Gemara says, no, there is a chiddush there. Because Ula Fukim and Rebbe Kiva, it's coming to exclude from Rebbe Kiva the Amr that he says in Perak HaChelitz and Daf Mem Tesam Adav, later on, he says, Yesh Mamzer B'Chiv Alav, and he says there is halacha of creating an illegitimate child, even if the union is only forbidden from a negative prohibition. Kamash Malon, that's what Rebbe Elazar is teaching, that Beis Shammai agreed to Beis Hillel that, okay, even though we disagree with you on the halacha, but the children will not be a problem, because the Eim Mamzer B'Chiv Alav, and we agree that there's no halacha Mamzeris from just a negative prohibition, and therefore it was Beis Shammai agreeing to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel did not agree to Beis Shammai. There could be a very big problem for the children that are mamzerim from Beis Shammai's camp. It was Beis Shammai agreeing to Beis Hillel, we have no problem marrying from your families, because although we say that she shouldn't go ahead to the shuk without yibum chalitza, however, even though that's done, that will not create a child that's a mamzer. The Gemara continues this discussion, trying to bring a raya, if Beis Shammai were asu, did they follow their own opinion regarding Tzaras Erva, or did they not? So Tashma, we learn the Braisa that says, even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued regarding these following topics regarding marriage, regarding unions, which are Bitzaris, as we mentioned, which is in our Mishnah, regarding what's the halacha of Tzaris Erva, do they have Yibum Chalitza, or are they totally exempt? Ubeachoyis regarding sisters, which is the beginning of Perek Dalet Achen, which opens up with four brothers, two of them married two sisters, and then the two other brothers married them. Do they have to go ahead and do chalitza, which is a machlokes b'sham esil? Ubeget yashin, there's a machlokes regarding an old get, which that's a case that's regarding if a man had yichud with his wife after he was in seclusion with her, after he already wrote for her a divorce document of a get. Now the reason why that should be a problem is because that would be gzeira, that maybe people are going to say that actually the get was before the son that she bore to him. And the way that that was is because he had a get, because the get was originally written, and then they were secluded at a later point in time, and from that union having a child, but the get was written earlier. So that could be a problem about such type of voice. There's a question regarding that legitimacy of that get, which again is machlekes b'sham b'sil. B'safik eshes ish. And there's also machlekes regarding a doubtful married woman, which in Perek B'sham and later on the Kav Zayin and Aleph, the Mishnah there records a machlekes between b'sham b'sil regarding a minor that could do miyun, which is a girl that was married off by her brothers or by her mother, which is only rabbinic marriage. She can uproot that marriage by doing what's called miyun. So b'sham b'sil says that only if she's engaged can she do miyun, whereas Basil said that even if she's married, then there are other differences over there. So Rashi says that this case of a minor girl who could do miyun, which is that machlekes b'sham b'sil, is termed over here in this brayse as safek eishes ish. She's a doubtful married woman because maybe she'll do miyun and uproot that marriage, so she's always doubtful if she's really married to this man or not. That's one interpretation of Rashi, what this case of doubtful eishes ish, which is what the brayse refers to in the machlekes b'sham b'sil. Rashi actually brings another interpretation that's a reference to a dying man that tells his wife that this is your get from today only if I die from this sickness. So all those days, she's considered a doubtful eishes ish, because if he ends up dying from this terminal illness, all those days, once he wrote it, she wasn't really married to him. But if he doesn't die, then she was. So Rashi says, although we don't find explicit machlekes b'sham b'sil regarding that halacha, but he says, you have to say, they argue on it, since it's similar in concept, as Rashi goes through, of this machlekes of if someone divorces his wife, and then they sleep over in the same inn, which takes us into the next case that Brisa brings down, which that is a documented machlekes b'sham b'sil, regarding uve megarish es ishtoi. If someone divorces his wife, v'lana imoy b'pundik, and that in spite of the fact that he divorced her, then they sleep together in the inn, which is brought in Masechtas Kitten, Perek Azarik, and Daf Ayin Tes, which is a machlekes, again, regarding the obligation of divorce, if they went and then were together then in the inn after he already divorced, which again Rashi ties together, according to one interpretation, the machlekes of a shchiv mera of the Suffolk Eishes Ish, which would be tied into this machlekes. And b'kesev v'shava kesev, there's a machlekes regarding when one makes kedushin regarding with money or something worth money, if it's bepruta or b'shava pruta, if it has to be only a pruta, which is the smallest denomination of money, or it could be when you're giving the value of it, a shava pruta, which b'shami argue, and they say that it has to be either a dinner or the worth of a dinner, and b'sil says that it only has to be a pruta or a shava pruta. So although we have all these machlekes regarding marriage, divorce, things regarding this union, and which could have huge halachic ramifications, in spite of that, le'nimnu b'shamim melisa noshim b'sil, b'shamim did not hold back from marrying into the families, the women from b'sil, and v'loi b'shamim b'shamim, and neither did the families of b'sil have a problem of marrying the women of b'shamim. L'metchas comes to teach you shechiba v'reyus noigim zebezeh, comes to teach you the endearment and the friendship that the camps of b'shamim b'sil held with one the other. The Kaim Hashanema, which fulfills the pasuk in Zechariah, Ha'emes v'ashalom ahavu, that truth and peace you shall love, that is, although they had this huge machlekes in halacha, but in practice they were friends and they were intermarried with each other, even though in halacha there was these huge ramifications regarding what one held was a huge problem. The other one says, no, this is a regular, valid marriage. Shimon Eimer, he says that nimnu heimin avade, the different families, different camps, would withhold from those which were definite problems, which the other camp held was going to be a problem in halacha, but v'leim nimnu min asafik, this that we said that they didn't withhold one from the other was in the case of doubtful situations, which the Gemara now assumes means to say regarding cases that the isser is a isser of doubt. For example, the case of when a husband divorces his wife and then they sleep together in the same inn,
where there's just a suffix, it's a doubt. Maybe he went and was intimate with her with the purpose of creating kedushin from there. So do we have to give a new divorce? What's the halacha? So regarding case of doubt, that's when they wouldn't withhold them from the other. But for cases of when definitely we know that they say it's us, they say it's mutter, then they would withhold one from the other. Now the Gemara proves the point. Iyamid b'shleimo also, if you say b'shami went and filed their own opinion, which was legabi, let's say in our Mishnah Tzaris, or all these cases that the Brisa discusses. So mishim hachi nimnu. So that would make sense why, like Reb Shimon said, when Vadai, where let's say Basil knows for a fact that Bishame, this is a Tzaris Erva family, which according to Basil, the children from that Yunam Mamzerim, so it makes sense why the definite cases they would withhold. Eliyamit Loyasa, but if you say Bishami never filed their own opinion, they went and subjugated themselves to Basil's opinion. So my nimnu, why they withhold? Even from the Vadai cases, where Basil and Bishami had way differing halachas, but in practice Bishami didn't follow their own opinion. Obviously Bishami was also that they did follow their own opinion. But in that the Gemara says, what do you mean, Tisber? Can you really entertain such a thought? Even if you're going to say, like you're trying to prove from here, that Bishami went and followed their own opinion, and that's why they withheld from the definite cases where we know for a fact, what Bishlam and Basil nimnu Bishami, so, but we could understand why Basil withheld from Bishami. As we said regarding the cases of Tzaras Erva, because the Chiyav Akrisis Ninu, Umamzerim Hem L'Bisil, where this union that Beishamai, those families are having, are Chiyav Akrisis, according to Beisil. So the children are Mamzerim, so okay, in those cases of Vade, we know why Beisil would withhold from Beishamai. El Beishamai, Emay Nimnu Beisil, but why would Beishamai withhold from the case of Tzaras Erva that they argue about from the family of Beisil? What do you mean? B'nei chiv olavin, and v'ksherim nenu. All they are at most is a problem of going and marrying without chalitza to some foreign man, which is just a negative prohibition, and those children are okay, they're valid anyway. So what would be the reason, even if you're saying that it's based on asu, that, okay, so that's why Basil stopped from Bishami, but why Bishami not marry from Basil? So I think Mara says, no, that's not a question. Truth is, Bishami, well, asu, they did their own opinion. And that's why Basil did not marry from Bishamai. You want to know why Bishamai, by the definite cases, did not marry from Basil? It's because Amar of Nachum Yitzchak, because he explains in his context, le'nitzcha el tzara atzma. What we're talking about was for the tzara herself. Hachaname le'nitzcha heros in the context that we're discussing over here, that we said Bishamai withheld from marrying from the family Basil, wasn't the children. The children are okay, because they're not memzerim. It's ela le'tzara atzma. It's for the tzaras ever herself. And that is, truthfully, Bishamai also withheld from Basil. What did they withhold? From marrying the Tzaras Erva without Chalitza. And that is, the truth is, could be that Bishamai did their own opinion, as we said. And that's why Basil did not marry from Bishamai. You want to know Bishamai did not marry from Basil? That's not the children, it's the woman herself. The woman herself, according to Bishamai, one man that's a foreigner cannot go ahead and marry her without chalitza, because that is negative prohibition. That's why, if they knew for a fact that she's a Tzaras Erva, Basil would have no problem marrying her off to some other person, because according to Basil, they're exempt from Yim Chalitza. But it's regarding the Tzara herself, that if they knew for a fact that she's a Tzaras Erva, they would go ahead and withhold from marrying her, because they did follow their own opinion. And Tzaras Erva, according to them, cannot marry someone else without chalitza from the Yavim first. But the Gemara still asks, if that's the case, he's saying Bishamai did their own opinion and Bishil did their own opinion. But why is there any difference by the definite cases where we said according to Reb Shimon, so then they withhold one from the other because they each had different halachas, even in practice, in these halachas. Because the Yisuruhu, because it's an Isra. But Safik Nami Yisuruhu, even the case of Safik, when let's say he divorces her and then they sleep together in the same hotel, where that's definitely a situation of Isser, why would Beis Shammai not withhold from Basil and Basil from Beis Shammai if they have two totally different halachas there also? Why is it any difference by Safik? So the Gemara explains that, Loitema min ha-Safik. Don't say that it meant by the case of Safik that then they would go and not withhold, because there they also would withhold, because that's a problem of Isser, because Beis Shammai had their own opinion. Ela'ema min ha-Stam. Rather, what you should be gaira is, what you should learn is, meaning from when we don't know anything any different. In other words, as long as we don't know, then mistama, just generically, they would not go ahead and remove themselves and not marry the women from either families. Because had it been something that according to the other camp would be a problem, then the other camp would have notified them, and then they would have separated. And that's why they were min hastam, without any proving to the other to otherwise, they would take for granted that she is a kosher woman for both camps, and each one would intermarry. But if it's vaday or even safik, meaning to say in halacha, it's a definite problem because of a doubtful situation, like the case of a grusha that then they were miyachid, they slept over in the pundik, then each one would notify the other. And again, that's because each one did their own opinion, like Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel had said on Amar Alf. So the Gemara asks, "Umay kamash malan?" But then the question is, if it's the way we just interpreted this brisa, so what exactly is Rabbi Shimon teaching us? The Ahavah raised Noigim Zeh B'Zeh, that they had love and friendship amongst each other, and that what? They would notify each other which one was a problem for the other, but Haina Reisha, the Gemara, but that's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma said that even though they had differing opinions, they would still intermarry, because they were friends and they had relationships. But essentially, that's what Reb Shimon is really saying. Because it comes out, Reb Shimon also agreed that even, not just from Vada, but even by Suffolk, they would not intermarry. Why? But Stam, they would, because they would notify each other. Well, that's essentially the same thing that the Tanna Kamma said, was because they were friends and they would notify. So the Gemara said, Hakamashman, but that's the Chiddush, is the cool Reb Shimon here. That yes, actually there is no Machlekes. Reb Shimon was defining the Reisha, it's all Reb Shimon, and that is, how was it, Ha'emes V'Shal Mahavu, how was it that they were friends and they intermarried even though they had different halachas? Was because, in practice, they would notify each other which one was a problem for the other one's family. And again, that's why, according to this Brisa, the Gemara has concluded that Bishamai were asu. They went and, like Rabbi Yechanan said, and Shmuel said, they did follow their own opinion. So the Gemara said, Tashma, come and hear another raya from a Tesefta that Bishamai were asu. They did it by themselves. Dam Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri said, and we quoted this opinion in the previous daf, he says, Hey halacha zu revachas b'sol. Now, exactly, how is this halacha of Tzaris Erva going to be manifest in the Jewish people? As Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri explained the problem, the conundrum is that if we go and follow the opinion of Bishamai that he holds Tzaris Erva, of course you could do Yibim for it, there's no problem about Tzaris Erva. Well, Havlad Mamzer, the Beis Hillel, that could be a big problem according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, the children of that union are Mamzerim. If we follow the opinion of like Beis Hillel, who they say, okay, you don't even have to do Chalitza, you could go ahead and just marry anyone, you're not even in the parish of Yibim, well then Havlad Pogum Lediv Bishamai. According to Bishamai, if the husband that she marries now without having chalitza is a kayin, so then her child is going to be pasul for kahuna. And that is because although a child of a union of chiv alavin is kosher to marry into klal Yisrael, but regarding the halachas of kahuna, he's considered a cholol. Where that's learned from a kavuchayma of Amon l'kayin gadol later on in the sugya, which we see that although it's just a chiv alavin, that the child becomes a cholol. And according to Bishamai, this union of marrying the Tzaris Erva without having chalitza done first is a loisase of loisi eshes a mesach chutz lezar, and therefore then the children, if that woman marries a kohen, will be a chal, will be pogam for kahuna. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had an idea. He says, "Boyu nesakel amatzaris." Let's find somewhere in the middle between these two different opinions. Let's rectify for these co-wives of the erva. We continue the topic tetzvav and ma'alv. She chaltzes b'lo misyabes, that they should have chalitza done to them and not yibum. And then it will be great shol mal yisrael, like it's called, for everybody. Because then, once chalitza is done for them, then according to everybody, they'll be able to marry a foreign man from the market, from that's not related to his family, according to everybody. Because according to Bishamai, you did your chalitza, you can marry le'ishzar. And according to Basil, you didn't need chalitza, but fine, you did chalitza. But either way, she can marry someone else. However, the Brisa does tell us that lohispiku ligmas adavash nitfashra. They didn't get a chance to conclude Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's brainchild of creating this synthesis until the moment wasn't able to complete this idea. However, Amalei Rabbi Shimon did tell Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri he had a problem with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's approach. He says because manas lehem letzaris rishayinus ma'ata. But what are we going to do for the up until your idea with the original co-wives, and that is, up until now, Bishamai's opinion was that the co-wives will have Yibim done to them. Now, those children, according to Basil, are Mamzerim. If you're going to say that now the halach will be from now on that we don't do Yibim because we're concerned with Basil's opinion, you're going to retroactively blacklist these children and say that they're Mamzerim because you're saying we don't do Yibim. And that is, it seems essentially you're going to be passing like not like Bishamai, at least in that element. So that was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's a protest with Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's approach. That's the end of the braisa. Now on that, the Gemara concludes the raya. Iyamid b'shleima also, if you say b'shamei followed their own opinion regarding the halacha of tzaras erva, sahayin dekama, manasa, that makes sense. Rabbi Shmuel says, what are we going to do? Up until now, they were allowing their tzaras erva to do yibum, and now you're going to say, oh, we don't do that, so then everyone's going to be saying that those are mamzerim. That Eliyamid lo yosu, but if you say up until now, b'shamei never followed their own opinion, my manasa, what was Rabbi Shmuel's objection? That, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Everyone was always doing the same thing anyway. It's just in halacha, we don't want everyone to do like Misil, even though Bishami was doing like Misil, because essentially Bishami's opinion is still legitimate in the sense of that we should have to do Chalitza first. But on that, the Gemara rejects the riot. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, and this is what we quoted before, Lo Nitzucha El Tzara Atzma. This is the context of what that statement was said for. No, we needed it for the Tzara herself. And that is, actually, it was in reference to the Tzaras of Bishil, who according to Bishil, he allowed those women to marry someone else without going and doing chalitza first. On that is what Rav Shmuel said, Ma Nasa, it wasn't going on the children of the unions that the Tzaras Erva has, because the current truth is, Bishamai were loy asu. They didn't follow their own opinion. And therefore, even according to Bishamai, they're kosher to marry people without any chalitza. But the concern was for the Tzara herself, because Ma Nasa, as the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel said, what are we going to do? Hachikama. Hanach Tzaras to Beis Hill, these co-wives of Beis Hill, which everybody follows Beis Hill's opinion. Yes, Beis Shammai were loy asu. They didn't follow their own opinion. But Le Beis Shammai, if we want to fulfill Beis Shammai's opinion, Heichin Navaluhu, what are we going to do from now on? You're right, everyone up until now was doing like Beis Hill. And a Tzaras Erva was going straight and marrying someone else without doing Chalitza first. But you're saying we want to rectify and fit in Beis Shammai's opinion too. So what are we going to do according to Beis Shammai's opinion? So you would require from now on, Lech Litzu, that any Tzaras Erva that married someone else, wait a second, we want to institute Tzaras Arayas should do Chalitza, because we also want to complete the Pinya Bishamai. So that is what Rav Shmuel's objection was. Mimasak of Rayu, you're going to make them repulsive, disgusting to their husbands, because you mean there's someone else involved over here? She has to, some other man has to go ahead and there's a bond between them that they have to sever? And that's going to be disgusting for the wives that they married and their husbands. And therefore, that was Rav Shmuel's objection for that to be mandated by now instituting the Pinya Bishamai, which even though Layasu, but they held that you should do Chalitza. Now, Bechitem B'Lemasin, if you're going to say, what's the big deal? What's Rav Shmuel's objection? So let the husbands be disgusted and repulsed by their wives that there's someone else that has to reject them through a Chalitza. And that is Rav Shmuel says that no. Because like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, that Derecheha Darchinoim, the paths of Torah are paths that are pleasant. All their alleyways, all their different short paths are ones of peace, and therefore that was the objection of Rav Shmuel, and that is essentially we could say that it's not a raya. Akobi Bishami did not follow their own opinion, but the problem was of Manasseh was that if you're going to institute now the Pinya Bishamai, that everyone up until now had the Tzaras Erva marrying with a Chalitza, and now they're going to require a Chalitza, they're going to be Mimisu Agavrayu, and that's something that doesn't work well with the Torah's motto of the Cher Dachanayim, Bechol Nisibaseh HaShalem.